something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb, and I'm a senior writer here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And hello there, I'm Julie Douglas, writer, editor, and lead phlebotomist.
Yeah, this is our second episode. Last time we talked about animals going to sleep, shutting off half their brain, and this week we're going to go in a slightly grosser direction. Tell me, Julie, did you have any, like, strange childhood fears?
I don't know that I'd had really any terribly odd childhood fears. Fear of clowns, of course. Mm-hmm. Fear of my neighbors.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Windows, latches, things like that. What about you?
So you just had, like, clowns, other people, and things that open. But otherwise, nothing.
Yeah, okay. Stepping on vertical cracks on the left-hand side.
Okay.
When going in the direction of the north. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see how that could have gotten in the way at all.
No, honestly, I didn't. I was a fairly normal child when it came to that.
Oh, okay. Well, I had this fear for a while of turning inside out, which I suspect that a lot of people had this on some level, for reasons I'm going to get to in a moment. But it all goes back to when I was a kid, my family would go to the local video store, and me and my sisters, we were all kids, in my family, they weren't really into getting horror movies, but the horror movie aisle was there. And they had all these just crazy, covers on the VHS, cases. And you just walk by them and you'd see these things and my mind would just sort of run wild with what they could possibly contain. And there was this one box for this film called Screamers, which was a 1979 film. And, you can look the cover art up online by doing like a Google search, and because it's like really crazy, because it's like this dude that's like turned inside out,
right?
And he just looks horrific. And then the tag at the bottom of the box is they turned men inside out, and worse yet, they were still alive, And so it got into my head that turning inside out was something that could happen to you, or happen that your body would do, or that something that would be done to your body. And that you'd still be alive and it'd be horrendous. And then I imagine you'd go to the doctor and, your parents would take you and it's like, what can you do for him? He's turned inside out. And they would be like, well, I can't do anything for him. I'm sorry. Your son is just inside out from now on.
You'd be sitting in your third grade class, just sitting there oozing your organs.
Just oozing all over the place and like pulsating and stuff.
That's really horrible. I mean, were you sitting there in the middle of the night saying to myself, you know, saying to yourself, oh my God, this could happen at any moment?
It wasn't that paralyzing, but it was just kind of, it was just this feeling of like, you know, I guess when you're a kid, you don't think as much about mortality, but certainly it was kind of a lesson in, oh my goodness, it's like, we're really fragile. We could turn inside out and then we're, you know,
wow.
Done for.
So it was like the moment where you just lost your innocence.
Yeah. Pretty much every time we all went to the video store, we'd see something like that that would beat down your innocence a little. But I suspect that other people had this problem as well, because I don't know if you've ever seen people turning inside out in cartoons, like kids' cartoons.
Yeah.
But it happens like more than you'd think it would. Like, you can dial up horror movies besides Scream. Oh, yeah, the other interesting thing about Screamers is that it actually, I found out years and years later, doesn't have anybody turning inside out in it. It's actually like an Italian film about fishmen that stars Joseph Cotten, of all people.
Of course.
Yeah. It was
a seminal Italian film actor.
Yeah, and so they just like decided that they were going to distribute it in the U.S. with this crazy cover with the guy turning inside out, and I think they shot something for a trailer that I've never seen that has like a dude supposedly turning inside out.
So it was like a bait and switch of turning inside out.
Yeah, but you know, as a kid, I never really thought about it or questioned why in the cover art the guy is inside out but wearing jeans, like.
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with this, and he's got a belt, and is it possible that the top, that button is undone as well? So it's sort of like he's in partial undress or.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he's like, oh my goodness, I've turned inside out, I better throw on some jeans.
Right.
Or if he like ingested jeans and then turned inside out, and that's how come he happens to be wearing the jeans correctly. But I didn't think about those things. You know?
Right.
But no, you look at like children's cartoons like Invader Zim. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
That was a Nickelodeon show. Kind of dark, because there is a scene where a kid gets sucked through a portal and he comes out like inside out. And then he kind of like, you know, shakes it off and he like flaps back to normal. And then there was another Nickelodeon show. There was somebody at Nickelodeon who was really into turning inside out, apparently. There was a show called Inside Out Boy about a kid who was on the swing. Have you seen this?
I'm familiar with it.
Okay.
I've heard descriptions of it before.
Yeah, and he like went over, he like swung so high that he did a complete like 360.
Right.
But it turned him inside out. So he's just this like grotesque little gut boy walking around, you know, and he just, I don't know, he has powers or something, and it's totally fine for kids.
Well, yeah, maybe because it's sort of a lesson, right? Like, don't go too high in your swing.
Yeah. Or you'll turn this will happen.
Inside out.
Yeah.
And, it's a neat way maybe to work out our fears. But what I want to know is, could you actually turn yourself inside out and live to tell it?
I think I figured out pretty early, and I think most of our listeners will realize that you can't really, because the human body is just a little too complicated and a little too rugged, you know?
Yeah.
Like basically, like for it to happen, you'd have to be like a sock puppet, you know, where, you know, you could just, like when you pull a sock puppet off, or when you pull a sock off your foot and it just goes completely inside out.
Right.
Like, we're just, you know, the human anatomy isn't geared to that.
To living with our organs on the outside.
Right. Yeah. And any force that would even like apply that kind of pressure on the human body, you would have like total body fragmentation before you had anything of that nature happen. We're both too fragile and not rugged enough to undergo that kind of transformation.
Huh. Interesting. Paradox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But just because the human body can't turn completely inside out, as we all should know, that doesn't mean that, this process, which is called eversion, doesn't exist all over the place in the natural world. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Just run through some of the examples of eversion in animals, and to a limited extent with humans, and just how amazing and gross it can be.
It is. It's some good grotesque stuff. What one stands out to you just right off the bat in terms of a very simple process of eversion?
Well, in human anatomy, you can have examples of like there's bladder eversion that can happen.
Okay.
And we're not going to go into a whole lot of detail on this because it's, you know, it's kind of gross. But
it sounds convenient, though, I have to say.
Yeah, well, it's different from bladder evacuation, which is rather generally a rather pleasant experience, as long as, you know, it's not in your pants on a roller coaster or something.
Right.
But no, this is a situation where the bladder, being an internal, you know, organ, ends up on the outside through a, you know, generally a naturally occurring orifice, but you can also have eversion occur with injuries where something will get kind of glooped out to the outside.
Right.
Yeah, it tends to be like an injury or internal trauma type situation. It becomes prolapsed to where it's on the outside now and it needs to be pushed back in or, you know, in some way repaired.
Right.
But you have a lot of animals where aversion is just part of like their daily routine, just how they go about eating or digesting things or defending themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, of those, like the sea star is a classic example of that. And if anybody out there watched the Discovery / BBC documentary series Life this year, they had a whole segment where it's sea stars feeding on this corpse underwater and their cadaver. Or not cadaver, just a dead seal. But they spit their stomachs out. They avert their stomachs onto the outside of their bodies to work at the digesting.
Mm-hmm. So it just kind of sucks up everything and pulls it back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, again, that's convenient.
Yeah.
You can see yourself at a buffet doing that. Maybe not you, but...
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't do
You're
that.
You're not going to go to a buffet.
And then this same... Yeah. But it's just you don't get your money's worth out of it unless
you're just
really pig out.
No, you're completely right.
Unless you just completely avert your stomach, you know. Oh, and the documentary series Life also shows these Nemertine worms feeding, and they actually they actually have what's called an eversible proboscis, and this is just their feeding mechanism is completely averted, and then they just kind of like pump it out with these muscles.
And so it's like a snout sort of going?
Yeah, it's like a long snout, but it's basically about the length of their body, but it's averted. So it's kind of like completely.
That is so cool.
Yeah. It's just like completely pulled inside. And then they just, they're kind of like a party favor, you know, where you like blow on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this ribbon kind of like extends. It's like that.
And then it snaps back.
Yeah. And then they pull it back in.
And so I think those are good examples of getting your food from aversion. I think sharks and rays, they are sort of doing the opposite, right? Like they're dumping.
Yeah, they have this thing called gastric aversion.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like if you're wearing blue jeans and you turn the pocket out to get rid of lint and find some loose change. They do the same thing with their stomachs out of their mouth, You can find videos of it online. It's like a really quick function, you know, cause, you know, you're a shark, you're a ray, you live in a dangerous situation. You don't just want to, you know, be swimming around all day with your stomach hanging out your mouth. So they just go, it's kind of like this quick, wah, and then it's, you know, it's out, shakes free some, you know, debris, and then it's right back in.
So it's like ancient Rome for the animal kingdom, and that, or it's like the vomitorium. And
yeah.
Except for there's no lute playing in the background
exactly.
Like, cover up the noise.
Yeah, but it's exactly like I think the way I was thinking of it's like with cats. Like we both know that cats love to puke. You know, or I don't know if they love it, but they do it without. It's no big deal. It's just a part of their lives.
Right.
Sometimes you got to puke, and they do it. So with sharks and rays, puking isn't the option. It's gastric aversion. So it's no big deal for them.
Right. And so that way they can scoop up even more food.
Right.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
And another really cool animal is the vampire squid.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Tell us about that, because that little creature, or large creature, I'm not quite sure how large it is pretty fascinating.
Yeah. I'm going to attempt to make a shot at its Latin name, because it's pretty awesome. Vampirotuthis infernalis.
Whoa.
It's like the infernal vampire or something. Yeah.
The dark seas.
It lives about a half mile deep in the ocean, and it has these this like webbed array of 8-inch arms. So it's, you know, it has like the squid arms, like your cephalopod arms, like you typically see.
Yeah.
Except they're all webbed together.
And it looks like a cape, like a vampire's cloak.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's very like steampunky looking, I think.
Yeah. I can easily imagine like wearing a little like top hat and having a monocle. You know.
Yeah.
But
if only.
But he will do this thing where he goes into a threat response stance that is sometimes called pumpkin or pineapple posture, which kind of, I mean, that doesn't sound nearly as cool as vampire and infernal, you know, but he'll basically take this, you know, his array of arms, these this webbed array of arms and like pull it back over the rest of his body. So it's kind of like if you were to take your lower lip and your upper lip and you were able to like stretch your lips back all the way over your body until you were just like, you know, pink glistening meat. That's kind of what they do.
And so that, so a predator might go, whoa, that wasn't what I thought it was.
Right. And also they have these little, they're not really spikes, but they have these lines of things on the inside that look like spikes. So then when they go into pineapple stance, they look a little spiky to predators too.
So again, Vlad the Impaler there.
Yeah.
I think that that's fascinating that you can turn yourself, you can essentially shapeshift as an animal to say to a predator, you know, hey, watch out, or I am not what you thought I was. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is the sea cucumber.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, which is much exalted in Japanese culture. And the sea cucumber, to me, cucumber, I can see where they got the name, but it really looks more like a sea sausage.
Yeah, it's like you look at it and you can't really tell that it's a little, I don't know, it's not the most vibrant of living things, you know? It's just kind of, it looks kind of gross and still.
Yeah, and it comes in a ton of varieties. Like some of them look like they've been oxidized, and some of them look like very psychedelic with warts on them, not warts, and they're anywhere from like under 1 inch to 6.5 feet in length. So in terms of how they're represented out there, there's a huge variety, and not all of them do what I'm about to talk about, but some of them have a really interesting defense mechanism. And if you don't mind me being so bold, I'll just get right to the point.
Go for it.
They can take their internal organs and jettison them from their anus.
And this is, of course, a trick best performed when you can regenerate said organs, right?
Exactly, right. You don't want to lose organs unless you can get them back in about a week to 4 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
But the reason why I think that is so fascinating is that, to me, like, that's the ultimate bow-up movement that you might have, like, in a bar fight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you were able to expel your internal organs through your anus and just splat them on your opponent, I mean, to me, that's pretty intimidating.
Yeah, I would think so. I've run across other, you know, situations where an animal will have some sort of response like that. Like, there are different animals that like to go into a defensive posture. They either, like, vomit blood or they... I believe there's a frog that actually, like fractures some of its bones and like it creates compound fractures.
Yeah.
You know, but any of those techniques, if you were to pull that on MARTA, on the local transit system, if you were threatened, I mean, I don't think anybody would mess with you.
Oh, no. Yeah. Everybody would move out of the car for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for maybe like the one person that was still asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate for them. But what's also called a sea slug, the sea cucumber is just pretty fascinating in the sense that it really does embody all those shape-shifting elements to it. It also can collapse itself, which is really cool, the collagen fibers of it, and pretty much liquefy itself and go through cracks. And, I mean, again, that's an incredible shape-shifting talent. Love to have that.
Yeah.
So it's not just a sea sausage there just sitting on the ocean floor acting like a bottom dweller. It has a rich life.
Yeah, and if you think it's gross before you start messing with it, just wait till it has to, like, run away. It's going to possibly shoot out its organs and then turn into a liquid. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's right. Dematerialize.
Yeah, and I was actually I wasn't aware before today just how much of a role it apparently plays in Japanese culture. Like, I didn't know, I guess I knew on some level that you could eat it because I think I've seen it on menus.
But, yeah.
Like, have you ever had it anywhere?
I have not. I think I have as well seen it on menus. And I'm thinking of sushi. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I'm thinking about. And I guess it's a huge delicacy in Japan.
Yeah, I know I do remember where I saw it. There are these little hot pot restaurants. It's like a Chinese thing where, you have this, it's kind of like, fondue, except you have a little pot to cook your, you know, pile of, vegetables in. And, one of the meats that is available, I believe, is sea cucumber.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not have it. A friend of mine had it, and I don't think he said he liked it, but I think he said it was interesting.
And so. it's also again referred to as sea slug. So you've got sea slug fondue.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as sounding quite delicious. But I think it's called sea slug because cucumber is not really translatable, from Japanese to English, which I think is in the book. What is it called again?
It's called Namako.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we, in researching this, we both ran across the same book. It's called Rise Ye Sea Slugs by Robin D. Gill. And, it is a book about sea slug haiku.
There are 1,000 haiku about sea slugs.
See, that's just, I mean, I really had to look at it again. So I'm like, this is a joke. This is some joke entry on Amazon. Like back in the day when people would put fake movies on IMDb, like this is just somebody's making this up, but it's legit. It's like they're that important in understanding like Japanese culture.
Yeah, they're that celebrated. And what I like about it is that the sections are defined by its various traits, I guess as we humans see it. And a couple of sections are, in the order of like, scatological, melancholy. There are a couple other ones in there. But you have to understand that the book is not only just celebrating the humble sea cucumber, but it's also sort of talking about the culture itself and how it is expressing itself through its love of the sea slug.
Yeah, like there was, and this makes perfect sense now that I've read it, but there's a point in the book where they're talking about comparisons between this act of aversion that the sea cucumber performs with its guts. Comparing that to the traditional, samurai act of, seppuku, I may be saying that wrong, and then the westernized, version of that is what Harry Carey, I think. And, you know, so there are obvious similarities between, you know, this creature expelling its organs to escape danger, comparing that to, say, a shamed, samurai or somebody, basically eviscerating themselves with a knife, in order to save face,
right,
preserve
right.
their honor.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, that's, the honor thing is a very interesting to bring up and to relate that back.
Do you have one of the haiku? A translation of the haiku?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well, you have to read that so people will get a full idea.
Well, this one is from 1741, and I feel like it's still very relatable now. And it is from a writer whose name was Jijo. I hope that I'm pronouncing that right. And it is a few drinks, and I am a sea slug out of water.
Ooh. That's actually really pretty.
Yeah. And also, I feel like in terms of our predilection for maybe overextending ourselves with libations, it still rings true today.
Yeah.
There are times when, after a few drinks, I feel that I am out of water as well.
Well, some of the ones I found were a little more grotesque. This is one here. Life's hard. No doubt, sea slugs end up inside out.
I love it.
Oh, and then there's this one. Sea slugs, their guts are made to swim.
1,000 of these.
Yeah,
as a reminder.
Yeah, and of course, these are translations, so we can't really experience the true beauty of sea cucumber aversion poetry.
No. Yeah. But I would say that, I mean, the holidays are coming up, so if you've got a marine biologist in your family, I think that you just found their present.
Yeah, I think Amazon has one copy left, so jump to it.
Yeah, get on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing about the sea cucumbers is that we see this as a phenomenon, this inside out is something in nature. What about in terms of injury, something self-inflicted, or even in pop culture?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, the thing that instantly comes to mind for me when I think of something that could actually turn you inside out. Oh, which, by the way, another instance of a children's story featuring inside out things. How to Train Your Dragon. There's mention of a dragon that turns people inside out. So, which it's a great movie, but it's like that was just the other day, like after I'd researched the podcast some and then I saw that movie and I'm like, whoa, this is all over the place. People can't get enough of inside out things for children.
Yeah, it's embedded in our subconscious.
There's also Slim Goodbody, who I'm kind of on the fence, whether that's inside outness or just a dude in a suit with guts on the front of it. You remember Slim Goodbody?
No, I don't. Tell me about Slim.
Oh, God. He's, I believe he's Canadian. Could be wrong on that. but he's a slim good body. He's like a TV personality.
Okay.
And he was like, generally you think of like the classic slim good body where he's got like kind of like he's got kind of like curly hair, and he wears this like spandex bodysuit with all of the organs painted on the outside. And he like talks to kids about like the importance of like eating healthy and like the guy still travels around today.
Okay, yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's basically his whole shtick is, you know, educating children about, you know, the importance of health and, you know, that taking care of your insides.
Wow. There's got to be one kid that just freaked out, you know, when he saw him come to a school and was like, God, your organs are on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've seen parodies before where like people have done costumes where it's like slim bad body, where they had like show like, you know, organs that have been, like the lungs are all blackened from smoking and things like
and
that.
And they have like a huge omentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of Slim Goodbody, again, I don't necessarily think he was actually inside out. I think he just had a suit with guts on it. But the thing that instantly comes to mind is like, you know, like rapid depressurization, like in an airplane, or, you know, it's like it's always happening in space movies. But it's rarely all that accurate.
Are you talking more like suction or force, something?
Force, and then also just like, you know, pressures, you know, the outside pressure changing, mm-hmm. and then destabilizing pressures inside the body.
Okay.
Like there's a film called Outland that came out in the 70s, I believe. It's like a Sean Connery Western in space. And it was one of these where people would like float out into, you know, into the void without their helmet on and their head would explode, you know, like a balloon. And I think that happened in Total Recall as well. But, you know, it's like, things wouldn't really happen like that. I believe the Air Force conducted some tests, and you can find the, you know, results of it online, where they took some salmon and exposed them to, you know, rapid depressurization. And they did not turn inside out because that's just silly. But they did, there was like some stomach aversion, like through like holes.
Okay.
In them. So yeah, it's the depressurization can cause some aversion, but it's not the kind of thing that would turn you inside out.
Okay. I'm also thinking too about some of the horrible urban myths that I've heard about before. And I'm thinking about like, oh good. Am I going to say this? Yeah. Like airplane toilets.
Yeah.
Suction. I mean, I think that you can probably figure out.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. You know, without like going into an actual like, you know, case by case, you know, Snopes-esque, you know, analysis of the stories. It's like even that at the most, you know, if any kind of like, you know, pressure-based injury, is gonna just, I think, result in prolapse or aversion of organs. But
right.
Not the entire
They're not gonna
body.
Get sucked out. I mean, if you're gonna sit on a toilet seat, I mean, the odds are that the suction that you would create wouldn't be nearly strong enough to even, lend itself to creating an evacuation of your bowels.
Right.
So to speak. Again.
Yeah. This is also a topic where we could go into more detail about all this, but we'll leave. If you're really that interested, there's some, you know, you can do some more research online. But we'll get in trouble if we get into it.
I feel like we've entered into the zone. Yeah. Yeah.
But one more, it's like, again, going all the way around on the swing set will not turn you inside out.
No, it will not.
Yeah.
It may make you vomit, but you will not turn inside out.
It will scare any adults viewing,
which
and children
could be worth it.
Yeah,
we're not advocating.
Well, I think you do get a certain. I mean, I was never the type of child to even attempt that. But like the kids who would go really high in the swing set, like that's instant cred, right? I mean, that's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I guess that is the kid equivalent of just ejecting your internal organs and splatting them on someone else. It's the metaphorical, like, don't mess with me.
Yeah.
On this playground, kid.
Well, on that note.
We bid you adieu.
Yeah, we bid you adieu. If you have any interesting tidbits about things turning inside out, either in your life or in fiction or in the realm of science, we may have missed some really awesome example from the biological world. Let us know.
Oh, and if you have your own haiku to share with us, please, we want to hear it.
Yes, but only if it's about things turning inside out.
And that could be anything.
Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. The HowStuffWorks.com iPhone app is coming soon. Get access to our content in a new way. Articles, videos, and more, all on the go. Check out the latest podcasts and blog posts and see what we're saying on Facebook and Twitter. Coming soon to iTunes.
something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.